Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Don't buy the home you live in, rent it instead. That's today's show. Let's dive in. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. I own dozens and dozens of properties, and you know that I like to buy and hold real estate. I fix it up, place great tenants in it, and that's how we create passive income. That's what this whole channel is all about and devoted to. So thank you so much for checking out the show today. I wanted to talk to you about a news story that was just published on CNBC.com. And Diana Olick wrote a story because she was basing this on a brand new study out of Florida Atlantic University about the way in which mortgage rates are threatening to increase and the values of homes maybe not upkeep or keeping up with that mortgage increase amount, and therefore making it less valuable for you to own the home you live in. Now, I want to look at this from a couple of different angles, this new report that's out, because as you know, I've done a whole show before on why owning the home you live in is a terrible investment. Now, I know it's certainly a controversial topic, but the basic premise, and you can dive much deeper into that show if you like, I really go into the nitty-gritty of why that is, but basically, at a high level, it's that when you own the home you live in, you're never going to be able to produce sort of the passive income and the cash flow that you would be able to if you use that same amount of money for that down payment. Let's say you bought a $300,000 home. I'm just going to get out the little trusty calculator here. So on a $300,000 home, you're going to need to put down, what, 20%, right? That's $60,000. Now, for that $60,000, you could probably buy, you know, a rental property with that amount of money, right? $60,000, that's even more than what a property of mine would cost, you know, in the $45,000 range, or $40,000 range, or $45,000 or $50,000. So that's almost like a rental property and a half right there that you could buy. And maybe that could cash flow $700, $800, $900 a month in cash flow from that rental property. Instead, you're using $60,000 to put down on a property, and therefore then you not only are you not getting any passive income, now you've also got a massive mortgage on this $300,000 home that you just bought. Wouldn't it make more sense to rent the property that you're going to live in the same neighborhood where you want to send your kids to school? Find a great house. And the reason that I make that argument, this is not entirely my argument, by the way. A lot of high-level investors, if you ask millionaire investors, do you own the home you live in? The answer is almost always no. I don't own the home I live in. I own many, many other homes that I rent out. And that's even Robert Kiyosaki's argument. A lot of high-level investors do not own the home they live in. Now, I'm not saying that's me. I actually own the home I live in. So I'm a different animal here. But I get the argument. And it's a very important argument from very smart people, very rich people who understand real estate and the mechanics of it. Again, dive deeper into that show because I go into a lot of the other reasons why you don't want to own the home you live in. But her point in this article is that home prices are rising quickly, mortgage rates also threatening to increase, and the rent versus buy equation right now is tipping towards renting, according to this index from Florida Atlantic University. It factors in home prices, it factors in rents, and essentially it calculates the wealth accumulated when owning a home compared with the wealth that with the wealth accumulated when renting the same property and investing that down payment somewhere else. So she is on to what I'm saying. Get it? Investing that money that you're going to use for that down payment somewhere else. Because at the end of the day, why are we even investing in the first place? Why are we investing in the first place? Well, we're investing in the first place in our own home because we love the neighborhood. And we think that it's going to appreciate. Maybe we can take some equity out of the home and maybe we can live here for a long time and then maybe we can sell that property and make some money, right? That's kind of the thinking behind that. That's a flawed argument. Wouldn't you rather take that extra money, that additional money, and have it creating immediate cash flow for you? Because in the other scenario, you're banking on appreciation. You're hoping that your home's going to appreciate. Well, guess what, folks? What if it doesn't? And what if we go through another crash where A-class neighborhoods, those are the ones that get hit the hardest, right? If you're living in an A-class neighborhood, what happens if that property value drops? Well, your equity dries up. And now your entire sort of future of wealth building is tied to that appreciation of the home that you live in. That's garbage. That's total garbage. And that's a terrible strategy for investing in real estate. Terrible. Yes, it's great if you own the home you live in and you've got some equity. You can pull some equity out in the form of a home equity line of credit or a HELOC, H-E-L-O-C, and use that to buy rental properties. But that's kind of like going around your ass to get to your, you know what I'm saying? Today's episode is brought to you by SaneBox. That's S-A-N-E-B-O-X, SaneBox. Now, let me ask you a question. How many emails do you have in your inbox right now? If it's anything like me, holy smokes, it ends up being a ridiculous amount of emails. Now, I get a ton of different pitches and requests, you know, speaking engagement things, you name it. I get hundreds of emails a day. And I'm going to tell you right now, my life would be totally different if I did not have SaneBox. I started using SaneBox about 2 years ago now, and it is a game changer. Even though I knew I wanted to do something about getting my email wrangled and figured out what to do with it all, I didn't know how. So I knew that I would miss something important. What if, you know, we had an investor that needed a particular answer on something? Or what if a relative was sent a birthday invitation and I had to respond to it? You know, I don't want it to just delete them all. And I didn't want it going to some weird spam folder somewhere. So then I finally learned about SaneBox and how I could get to inbox zero every day and sort of take back my email sanity. Here's how SaneBox works, and I can't recommend it enough. They sort through your email, and they move all of the crap, all of the trivial stuff into a different folder that they create so that only messages in my inbox are the ones that I actually want to see. Now, aside from removing all the junk so you can focus on messages that matter, there's this great feature called Sane Black Hole. And when you move an email into that Sane Black Hole, you'll never hear from that sender again. I get a lot of junk email, people trying to sell me properties. You know, that's what I do for a living, right? I know our properties, and I'll get random crap properties that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. You know, get this deal now, fast. Clayton, take advantage of that. I don't want to hear from those people. So I move that into my Sane Black Hole folder, and I never have to see it again. Pottery Barn catalog, whatever it is, any of that kind of stuff goes into that Sane Black Hole and I'll never see it again. It's so rewarding because we could all use more organization in our email life. We worked out a great deal for our listeners. Here's what you do. You go to SaneBox.com/investing. So that's Sane, S-A-N-E, box.com/investing. today, and they're going to throw in an extra $25 credit on top of the 2-week free trial. Now, you don't have to enter your credit card information at all unless you decide to buy. So there's really nothing to lose at all. Check it out today. Let me know how much you'll love it. And check out the black hole feature. It is fantastic. And reaching inbox zero, I love it. And I rub it in the faces of my friends. I'm like, look, inbox zero. They're like, how did you get your inbox down to zero? Oh, check it out. SaneBox.com/investing. I love these guys. I wouldn't be able to do my job without them. Thanks, SaneBox. So if you have a home you live in, great, leverage it if you can. But if you don't, you may be using that money in a smarter way elsewhere by buying rental properties that are going to cash flow. You're going to be adding to your net worth. So, right, if you add a $50,000 or $60,000 home to your net worth and it's cash flowing $700, $800 a month, you're adding not only to your net worth, you're now mitigating your other expenses in your life, right? Your income coming in from your 9-to-5 job. Now you are a real estate investor. You've probably set up an LLC for your business, for owning real estate inside of the LLC. The cash flow, the rent that's coming in is now passive income for you and your family instead of the other way where you're spending money out to go to a mortgage. Do you get the difference? Huge difference. And often the rent is going to be lower or much lower than your mortgage payment would be in that particular property as well, the one that you're going to rent instead of own. So despite all of this, cities are steadily moving towards this rental index and a lot more people are deciding to rent. So listen to this index. 23 cities in this index, including New York City, Boston. They're still in the buy territory, where if you buy, you're kind of make off a little bit better. Some very definitively, like Chicago, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, are still in that buy section. But nine of them are not in this index, including Minneapolis, Atlanta, Miami, Philadelphia, Los Angeles. It's better to rent than it is to buy. And then meaning it's a toss-up if you, you know, and then basically take that money and move it elsewhere. I mean, if you live in California, for crying out loud, and you're buying $1 million, three-bedroom, one-bath house, I spoke to an investor the other day that told me he wanted to buy the same property that he would buy through our company, through Morris Invest. The same house was $800,000. Same size house, three-bedroom, one-bath. Same house, same size, 900 square feet, $800,000 in the Los Angeles area. What? Come on. Really? So $800,000, what do you think that'll cash flow? I don't know. It's going to cash flow $2,000 a month? That's an awful investment. Terrible investment. I'd much rather buy a three-bedroom, one-bath house for $50,000 that's going to cash flow $700 a month. That's a fantastic investment, okay? By all stretch of the imagination, that is a fantastic investment. So anyway, her point here, don't put your money into a house, according to this new report. Rising home prices and a potentially increasing mortgage rates could hamper your investments. You're going to be spending more on the mortgage. The values are there, but you're going to be paying more for that mortgage than you could get by taking that money elsewhere and going out and buying investment properties. I love her strategy on this. A couple different ways to look at this. I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback. You know, don't shoot the messenger in this. Again, I own the home I live in, but I get the total argument of this. And if I had to do it all over again, I probably would rent instead of buy. Let me know your thoughts. If you're watching the video, leave a comment in the thread below. If you're listening to this, please send us an email into the office or go to our Facebook page, our Morris Invest Facebook page. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about this video as well and this podcast. So thanks so much, everyone. We publish this podcast 3 times a week, and it's all around helping you go out there and take action and become a real estate investor. I really want the best for you. I want you to get your family's finances in order, and I want you to take that next step. Get out of your comfort zone, get out of fear, and go out there and take action, folks. This is the number one way to build wealth in this country, the number one way. And guess what? It's not flashy. It's not sexy. There are millionaires in your neighborhood right now who own tons of real estate. You probably don't even know their names, but guess what? They are financially free, and you wouldn't even know it. So that's what I want for you. So please take action, become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time, everyone. Much love to you all.